today on Real Radio.
Well, if you don't want to reject him, accept them. But what if I don't accept them? Then you don't want him. He didn't call you. In his foreknowledge, you're not predestined. Well, I don't know if I like that or not. If you don't like it, accept them.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Believer's Foundation Part 2, continues in a series entitled Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll continue covering Galatians chapter 3 with verses 6 through 9 today. How can we who are sinful by nature come to a God who is truly holy by nature? The only way to come to God is through His gospel of grace. Our justification through faith in Jesus Christ is founded upon God's Word. It's always been God's plan to save us, for our salvation is a gift based solely upon faith and not by works. Before the law even existed, Abraham believed God, and God declared him righteous. And the gospel that was acted out in Abraham's life is the same exact gospel that saves mankind today. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the believer's justification by faith is anchored in eternity. Our salvation has the assurance of eternal life based on God's promise. And God, who cannot lie, promised our salvation before time began. And now, continuing his lesson called The Believer's Foundation, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And when we share from the Word of God, there is a strength that comes that you cannot register in this life. It is amazing. It's exciting. So I want to ask you this morning, have you put faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you've done that, God will see to it, because faith is active. God will stir you up. And maybe He's stirring some of you up this morning. But the foundation that Christ has provided for us is justification by faith. It's not precarious. It's not somehow in a deficit or a weakness. It's strong. Do you have faith in God? I didn't ask you, do you have great faith in God? I said, do you have faith in God? If you have faith that God supplied salvation through Jesus Christ, God receives you as a child of Abraham. You're walking in the footsteps of Abraham in that manner. But what foundation do you have this morning? Is it, well, Pastor, I'm really working hard at my salvation. If I try really hard, listen, if I'm really good, you know, if I keep the golden rule, you can't keep the golden rule. You can't even keep the first of the Ten Commandments. Well, I'm still going to try. No. Your foundation's off. Listen, this last week, they poured the foundation on the east wing. The west wing's already been poured. The east wing, they just poured. And the contractor took me on a walk on Friday morning of the west wing, because you can walk on it. They're getting ready to do whatever they do. And as I'm walking along, there's this huge crack. And I said, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's cracked. And the guy, Ron, is a wonderful believer, loves the Lord. He looked at me, he got a big smile on his face. He goes, we don't care if it's cracked here. And I said, well, yeah, but, you know, honestly, it's kind of insecure. If it cracks here, it could crack somewhere else. He goes, no, we expected it to crack here. In fact, we're glad it did crack here. Why? He said, because we're going to be tearing this up. This portion goes up later. We tear this part out. It's false. He said, below it, there's not much at all, not compared to the rest of the building. That's where the depth is at, where we're going to build on. He said, it was easier for them to keep pouring than to stop. And I said, oh. He said, yeah, this is disposable here. This goes. That which was firm, that which had a foundation, was strong. To the apparent eye, to me, it looked the same across the foundation until I saw the crack. The reason why it cracked is because the concrete there, it's very thin. It could never hold a building. Didn't Jesus say that there are those who, he says, by having faith in him, they build their life upon the rock? and storms will come, the winds will come, the floods will come, and that home, that life will be firm because they built it upon the rock, the firm word of God, so that that building, that structure stands. But he who builds on sand, on a very, very thin sheet of concrete, when the storms, when the floods, when the winds blow, Jesus says that foundation will blow away. And so God will challenge us this morning. Is your relationship with God based upon the fact that God has justified you? Look at verse 8. We see here that justification is anchored in eternity. I love this. Foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, he preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand. I'm going to ask you to circle the word foreseeing, and at the end there, beforehand. Why? Listen carefully. I love, as you know, the study of the prophetic word of God. I love end time studies. I want to know what's coming. But did you know the greatest prophetic study of the word of God that you could ever begin your eschatology in study would be this? It's not deciphering the 10 toes on the statue of Daniel's vision. It's not trying to figure out, you know, who's the Antichrist. The greatest prophetic study that you could ever embark upon must begin first with the first utterance of prophecy, and that is that God would save us. Did you know that? That's prophetic. Hey, how many of you came to know the Lord within the last 100 years? Raise your hand. You know how that happened? Based upon the prophetic word of God. Did you know that the Bible spoke of, way back in the Old Testament, millennia ago, that there would be a group of people, that there would be an age, and every age, that would come to faith in Christ? Did you know that? That's the prophetic study of the word of God. So I love that. It's anchored in eternity. What is the word foreseen? It means that God knew in advance. He knew it. Did you know that? He knew that you would get saved. Now look, last service, first service, there are some people who gave their hearts to Christ. They didn't know when they were coming this morning what they were going to do. They were, so to speak, caught off guard. Did God know? Oh, yeah. Did God know, according to the Bible, before the world was ever laid? Oh, yeah. Did God know in eternity past that they would come to faith on this day, on May 5th, in this year? Yep, even though they didn't. Even though they weren't even born yet. Justification, salvation, us being in eternity with God, God knew before the world ever began. It's not new to him. Foreseeing that God would justify. I love that. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to verse 30, it says this. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, foreseen, knew in advance. For those he foreknew, he also predestined, that's based upon his foreknowledge, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, remember, when did he do that class? Before the world was ever created. Charles Spurgeon says, I'm so glad God saved me before the world was ever created and before I was born, because if he would have tried to save me after I was born, he wouldn't have. And I love that. I mean, he's facetiously speaking, but it's cute. In other words, Spurgeon was saying, I was such a brat. God didn't save me because I was going to be some sweetie. In spite of my rottenness, Spurgeon says, God saved me before I was ever born. And you know, in the mind of God, that's true. Though you and I enter into God's reality. For who he predestined, these he also called, and these he called, he also justified. And those he justified, these he also glorified. And every one of those words in the Greek language, as it is in the English, are past tense statements. In the mind of God, it's done. Are you ready for this? I don't know how you're feeling today. Maybe you got the blues or the blahs, I don't know. But if you're embracing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do you know today that God has glorified you? Isn't that amazing? Yeah, I know it's gloomy outside, kind of overcast. But your relationship with God, though you may be feeling something quite other than, God is very excited and very happy. He has saved you. Can you answer to yourself, can you this morning say, I want Jesus Christ? Then your next step would be, I want to receive Jesus Christ. If you want him, receive him. If you receive him, guess what? You enter into a reality that God has already known about. You say, well, Jack, how do I know if God called me? Now, hear me out. Are you guys with me? You're so quiet. You're so good. Well, Pastor, how do I know if God's called me? I'm not a Christian, but I'm hearing what you're saying. And how do I know if God wants me, if he called me? How do I know if waiting for me on the other side of this aisle is the fact that I was predestined based upon his foreknowledge, that I have been justified, that I have been glorified? Pastor, how am I going to know? Are you ready for this? Accept him, and then you'll know. Say, well, what if I don't accept him? Then he didn't go through that process for you. He knew that before you were ever born, that you would reject him. Well, I don't want to reject him. Well, if you don't want to reject him, accept him. But what if I don't accept him? Then you don't want him. He didn't call you. In his foreknowledge, you're not predestined. Well, I don't know if I like that or not. If you don't like it, accept him. Well, I don't want to go to hell. Well, that's where you're going, unless you accept him. Well, see, now wait, is he sending me to hell? He's not sending you to hell. If you would just accept him, you won't go to hell. Don't die rejecting him. Well, then how do I get to heaven? Accept him. Some of you psychologists are saying, Jack needs help. He's having an argument with himself. Listen, I'm sharing what's in our hearts when we hear this news for the first time. You try to figure out God. Let me see. And you got to, I'm going to nail this down before I make the step. Good luck. You can't do it. It's the mystery of Christ. You can't figure it out. Just respond to what you need to know. God says to all those who will come to me, I will in no wise cast out. And we go, how come? Why? Who says? What if? Stop that. You see, now, Pastor, see, now you want me to check my brains in at the door when I come in. No, use your head. You've heard about the good news of Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross and rose again from the dead to free you from guilt and from sin and to set you free. And he doesn't want your money. He doesn't want anything like that. He wants you to ask him into your heart. The moment that happens, your life changes. In fact, you don't see things the same. You're justified by God. You're glorified by God. You're sanctified by God. You're called by God. You're predestined by God, all based upon his foreknowledge. Justification is anchored in eternity. You're not going to change that. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 says, having made known to us the mystery of his will. There you go. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. He didn't consult you, and he didn't consult me. He purposed it in himself that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that's a long time. That's since the beginning of the material universe until the culmination of it. That he might gather together in one all things, both in Christ, which are in heaven and on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his own will. And what is the nature of God and his counsel? That he's good, that he's kind, that he's loving. Know this. Whenever God speaks about his foreknowledge and predestination, it is always in the positive, always unto heaven. Always in the scriptures, when someone is in regards to hell or to damnation, it is always based upon their rejection of God's love. Isn't that interesting? God sends no one to hell. He provides the way that all mankind might be saved. He invites the entire world. The Bible says that Jesus Christ died for our sins, not only for ours only, but for the sins of the entire world, says the Bible. The price was paid completely and fully. But it's upon us to accept him. Justification by faith, trusting in him. We could go on, and there's so many scriptures. Ephesians 1, verses 3, 4, and 5. You can jot that down if you'd like. Ephesians 1, 3, 4, and 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Based upon God's foreknowledge, the Bible says that we are the elect of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 says that according to the power of God who has saved us, listen to it, past tense, saved us called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he has given unto us in Christ just before, or excuse me, in Jesus Christ before time began. That's good news. Titus chapter 1, verse 2 says that our salvation is in assurance of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised to us before time began. Are you excited? Can I hear an amen just for me?
Amen.
Beautiful. He says in verse 8 that he's justified the Gentiles by faith. Some of your old King James Version Bibles say what in there? Heathen. Isn't that, that's an old word, heathen. Your friends have said, oh, what do? You think I'm a heathen now that you're a Christian? Your friends, they think that you view them as a heathen. That word's got negative connotations. We would say today, Gentiles or non-Jews who do not believe. It's important. I was talking to a Jewish man this week, and he's waxing on about his Jewish roots. And I let him go. He's just... You think I use my hands when I talk? This guy looks like a helicopter when he's talking. And he's going on about his Jewish heritage and stuff. And I said, yeah, you know. I said, have you ever stopped to consider that the first Jew that ever was first a Gentile before he became a Jew? And you can see that guy's break slam on in his head. Ah! What? I said, well, who's your father? Abraham. I said, what was Abraham before he was a Jew? He was Abraham. He was not. He might have been Abraham, but he came out of Ur of the Chaldees. He was a Gentile. And the guy was like, he's... Silence. The first Jew there ever was a Gentile first. Meaning this, let it be a lesson to us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, including who? Abraham. But because Abraham trusts in the Lord, he's declared righteous by God. And so the scripture tells us, Galatians 3, we too, by faith, are sons of Abraham, sons and daughters of Abraham. That's exciting. He says here that he would justify the Gentiles by faith. Romans 10, 17 tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Did you know that? Christian, you're sitting here this morning and your faith is growing. You may not feel it. Your shirt's not swelling up, but you're growing. You're growing on the inside. The inward man's being strengthened. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. It's a divine, supernatural work of God. And then again, it says in verse 8 that God preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand. This, though we will not spend much time on it, this blows my mind. Here's the reason why. I want to ask questions. When you read the Bible, ask questions. You want to say, God, when did you preach the gospel to Abraham? My next question is, what gospel? Ooh, that's a good question. Because there's people knocking on doors of your houses giving you another gospel. Was it that gospel? No. We've learned in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, that if Paul the apostle, he said, or any other messengers or an angel from heaven preach any other testament or gospel, let him be anathema, cursed. So this raises a great question. If God preached the gospel to Abraham, was it the same gospel that God is preaching to us in the Word of God? Well, let me ask you this. Is God God? Yes. Can God lie? No. Does God have another gospel? He says he doesn't. So the gospel that God preached to Abraham is the same gospel you have in your lap today. That causes us to step back and say, then what did Abraham hear? We only know this. From the word of God, we know that God said to Abraham, remember, come outside of your tent, look up into the heavens and see the glory of the sky, the innumerable stars. I will make your descendants like that. Remember? And the Bible says that Abraham believed God and God attributed to him, accounted, did the math and declared Abraham righteous. But what else? Is that the gospel? I believe personally you will find the gospel preached to Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. Mark it down, look at it later. In fact, I highly recommend you study it later. Genesis 22, verses 2 to 9. I believe that God not only preached the gospel to Abraham, the same gospel that you and I know, but I believe that God acted it out. God says, listen carefully. God says to Abraham, Abraham, get up, get going. Take your son Isaac. Take the lad. The old King James is the word lad. The word in the Greek is the young man. A lad, the age attributed to that Hebrew word, is someone from 30 years of age onward. Isn't that interesting? Your Sunday school books has Abraham taking his little boy like he's about 3 years old. Isaac was 30 years plus at this time. Take your son and go into a country, listen carefully, that I will show you. Number two, I will show you one of the hills, one of the mountains of that land. There, number three, sacrifice your son. Stop right there. Put yourself in his sandals. God had told him, from your seed, I will bless the world. You're going to have a son in your old age. Now, did Abraham have Ishmael through Hagar? Yeah. But the Bible says that he was not the son of the promise. He was the son of the flesh. Are you aware of that? Because Abraham would not wait upon God, he caved in, and he went and got his maid at Sarah's request. You got to study the culture. It's kind of interesting. It's twisted to us, but it's very common back then. Because Abraham didn't want to wait on God, he's thinking, well, maybe I'll help God out in this salvation process. I'll do it my way. And boy, it's been a disaster ever since. But Ishmael was born. And God said, okay, look, I'm going to bless Ishmael, Abraham. Don't worry about that. But he's not the one I picked. He's not my promised son. Sarah's going to have a boy. That's the boy. Name him Isaac. Isaac is born. Now, God says, take your son, your only son. Why? He was the son of the promise, not the son of works. Take him to this hill country. In the land of Moriah, God says in Genesis 22. I'll give you a hint. There's a city in the land of Moriah, and that city goes by the name of Jerusalem today. And by the way, Jerusalem, though it is on top of a mountaintop, there are mountains, many mountains, that surround Jerusalem. So God says, I'm going to show you a place, Abraham. Take your son. So they go. And listen, it says 3 days into the journey. 3 days into the journey. 3 days since when? From the moment God said to Abraham, go take and sacrifice your son. That truth was in Abraham's head for how many days? 3 days. You kind of see the picture forming? A father is going to take his only son. He's going to sacrifice him in the land of Moriah, near the city of Jerusalem. In Abraham's mind, his son had been all but dead in his mind for how long? 3 days. God shows him the hilltop, and it says there, Abraham, by faith, Abraham says to his servants that are accompanying them, you stay here. I and my son, we're going to go to the mountaintop, and we will worship the Lord, and we will return.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Believer's Foundation, Part 2. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that your foundation is secure in Jesus Christ. The Believer's Foundation, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion, a series that brings to light our struggle between grace and good deeds. For we are justified through faith and not of our works, should any of us boast. Today was day 2 of this lesson, and we'll continue with more on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, did you know that we post a brand new Real Life TV program every Friday morning? Great sermons from Pastor Jack brought to you every Friday. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click the Watch tab. Join us for the Real Life TV program every Friday morning. By the way, if you have a question about what maybe you just heard here on Real Radio, you can always head on over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and hit that Contact tab. Don't hesitate. We'd love to get you in contact with someone who can help you out. Maybe a question about something you heard here on the radio. Maybe it's a question about life in general. Why don't you give us a call at 1-877-RR-RADIO or hit the Contact tab at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.